top of the news this evening is speculation concerning the real facts behind the Department of Health announcement about a radioactive spill supposed to have occurred yesterday at the state nuclear plant.
You will die only to live again in a younger body. Then you can tell me if the operation was a success. I could easily kill you now, but I'm determined to have your brain.
You're listening to the Really Awful Movies Podcast, a celebration of genre cinema. Hi, my name is Chris, and along with Jeff, we talk about movies that aren't really awful at all. Horror, action, kung fu, musicals, post-apocalyptic, women in prison films, and much, much more.
Downtown Toronto headquarters. Here's episode 325 of the Really Awful Movies podcast. Christmas horror films. Now, some of you may recognize the traditional English carol that preceded today's show, The Holly and the Ivy. It's one of my favorites, along with Hark the Herald Angels Sing. I'm more of a traditional carol guy versus the chestnuts roasting on an open fire type thing. I was on a morning walk today, and I noticed that the brightly colored berries of the holly. And the association with holly and the ivy is one that goes back to medieval times, and it's actually a metaphor and a symbol of the duality and pairing of Jesus Christ and the Virgin Mary. And it probably, going back a ways, was a portend of good luck as the seasons changed, because for anything, frankly, to be blooming now would probably be seen as quite miraculous as well. I launched the show as I think the holly can be a metaphor for how Christmas is perceived by different people. I mean, just as much as it brings joy, the flowering plant, the European version of which is common around the home as part of a hearth and part of Christmas decor and people's front lawns and whatnot, but we need to also remind ourselves that it's an emetic and it's poisonous and it needs to be kept away from pets and children. And I was thinking about Christmas and its capacity both to bring people much joy, but as well comes with it lots of foreboding and complicated feelings related to nostalgia and, I guess, sentimentalism, but also, I mean, a sense of purpose and a sense of promise. And it means often all these things together at one time. It can be a particularly challenging time for people around the holidays for whom their family get-togethers present something that's more stressful than joyful. I was thinking about the Christmas horror experience, because on previous occasions I've noted how varied the horror space is and just how fulsome and how rich and how just bountiful it is. Speaking of flowers and varieties, I think there's 500 species of flowering holly, but anyway, just a wealth of different horror films. And I was just catching one recently, a couple days ago, called All Through the House, and it's a modern film from 2016, I believe, and it has a protagonist who goes around with shears a la The Burning, and he's an evil Santa, and he lays waste to a bunch of people you typically associate with being victims in a slasher. And I noted Toronto actress Jessica Cameron in that one because I've covered some of her work, but she was also in a movie called Silent Night. So I was thinking she would probably have the market cornered when it comes to Christmas-themed horror movies, because that's quite something to be in two of them. I mean, this is such a niche, though recently, I think, growing subset of the horror space when you look at the likes of Better Watch Out, and Krampus and all the subsequent sequels that one spawned, and more current offerings as well, like all the 2010s, you have Santa's Sleigh, and countless sequels to Silent Night, Deadly Night, the insane 1984 Santa slasher that depicts an axe-wielding, axe-brandishing homicidal maniac Kris Kringle. That I think got people really, really pissed off, while parents particularly who picketed theaters when that one was released all through the house thought it was really, really very sleazy and very dark and yes, kind of cheap exploitation film in the style of something that might have come out in maybe the late 70s or early 80s. And it was interesting to see, I mean, it's always interesting, I think, to see just a straight-ahead slasher, because the genre these days tends to be dominated by more supernatural efforts, so it's rare to see just a straight-ahead 80s-style golden-era slasher, and it has some things to commend it. Definitely a very, very good tone, if a little bit of a cheesy sensibility, but director Todd Nunez really, I think, has a pretty good handle on what made some of the original old Saint Nick slashers that resonate with people. So I think he keeps it, that one very close to the spirit, if not Christmas spirit, of those kinds of films. Now, you can go through a list of some of your favorites. I mean, I think Silent Night, Deadly Night really put it, this genre on the map, and the Punish became a meme. And infamously, Part 2 was just a complete rehash of Part 1, and it was just basically a high body count slasher with not much to commend it, but that really resonated with people just because of its sheer chutzpah and sheer goofiness. And the time-honored tradition of a prologue and poor little Billy, Christmas Eve and his family, they're going out for a drive and to visit their catatonic, I think, Alzheimer-addled grandpa. They stop to get roadside assistance, and there's a driver dressed as Santa. Turns out he's a maniac who shoots the parent. I think he just kills the parents, and then Billy cowers in the bushes. And so you get this nature versus nurture set up heavily in favor of the latter. And years later, Billy is in an orphanage run by a mother superior and giving him all sorts of grief, and hence, he becomes obsessed with Christmas, and you know the rest. He dons the red felt hat and starts laying waste to everyone with nary a vision of sugar plum fairies dancing in his head. So that is really the ball rolling for all these different kinds of films. Better Watch Out, I thought, was a pretty nifty and pretty dark updating of the home invasion type motif, and I thought that was pretty well done, and I would throw it up there amongst one of the better Christmas-themed horror flicks. I mean, there are a multitude of them. I've seen a lot of them, and I'm still catching up. There's Night Train Murders is, I think, an Italian-German production, which is always wonderful, because you look at Lamberto Bava's Demons, and that's a pretty good exemplar of bringing Italian sensibilities to the edgy streets of modern-day Berlin. It was an 80s film, but it's still modern, and Berlin is always forward-looking as a city. But the Night Train Murders is a bit of a riff on Last House on the Left, which itself had elements of Ingmar Bergman's The Virgin Spring, and it's Video Nasty, I believe, from the 70s. I don't recall too much of it. It's Mädchen in den Krallen, teuflische Bestien. In the devils, women in the thralls of the devilish beast, some such thing in German. There's a bunch of shoppers, and there's a traditional Christmas market in Munich, and then we meet a couple of women, one German, one Italian, which is wonderful, as that's my ethnic heritage, and that's what really propels my Christmas traditions, really, because Christmas is all about food. Don't want to go on a tangent too much, but growing up, it was just nothing but feasts of bricciolini, which is a southern Italian fried rice, cheese-infused delectable treat that's very similar to the arancini, which many people may be familiar with that you can get at a restaurant. We would have this bountiful 4 or 5 course meal with pig's ears and frequently marinated squid and octopus or a chopino, that San Francisco inspired seafood dish with a hot red sauce. And then you, of course, you'd have a pasta dish, and you'd have your tiramisu and tartufo, and washing it all down with grappa and obviously espresso. And then Christmas Day, because Christmas Eve is what Italians tend to focus on. You always for Christmas Day, we would do more on the German side of my family and do a pork hock and roll out some sauerkraut and some mustard and some Stollen, which is a heavy sugar-laden German Christmas cake, and do all that kind of thing. But anyway, so these two German and Italian girls heading to Italy by train to spend Christmas break. For some reason, I can't recall, but there's a couple hooligans on the train who get on in Austria, and, well, you know the rest. I mean, night train murders is pretty self-explanatory, and you get something not unlike Terror Train, so not too much to commend it. A whole slew of other pretty good Christmas-themed horrors. I mean, Jessica Cameron alluded to, Canadian actress. There's a Winnipeg, Canada, lensed horror. Winnipeg's in the exact geographical center of Canada, and it's about a psychotic Santa who terrorizes a town, and I think he does so using a flamethrower, which always makes me laugh, because I recall George Carlin's famous bit about the invention of the flamethrower, and someone at some point in history thinking to themselves, there's someone over there I'd like to set fire to. So this is another unstoppable killer, Chris Kringle, a la Michael Myers. He wears one of those translucent face masks, goes around, and Malcolm McDowell is in this thing, and Jesus, he's just brutal, frankly. But still, it's a very fun movie with a lot of good kills, including, castration with a scythe. That's pretty impactful. Santa's Sleigh is a very, very popular one. And that was also, I think, lensed in Canada. I'm sensing a theme here, but there's a reference to Wayne Gretzky. Jimmy Caan, of all people, is in this. I mean, you go from arguably one of the greatest films of all time. And I think I'm in the minority saying that I think I prefer Godfather 1 to 2, but so I sort of buck the critics' trend in that regard, but there's no denying that's just one of the great films of all time. But poor Jimmy Caan, his fork's rammed into his hand by Bill Goldberg, a just idiot wrestler. And if Dave Thomas from SCTV Saul Rubinek in this one as well, who's obviously on Frasier and who met his maker on in a great way on the Death Ship. That's another just very fun one. Also, Saint, Dutch import, presents a vision of St. Nicholas that's leagues removed from the version you're used to seeing on TV commercials and in shopping malls and Tim Allen crap movies and that. But in the more traditional St. Nicholas, Sinterklaas, who wears bishop robes and travels with his servant, Svarte Piet, Black Peter. Dutch children, I guess, are told that St. Nick rides on rooftops by horseback, and it's kind of pretty fantastical look from what I can remember. It's more in the Krampus style of filmmaking, so it's more that the blend of fantasy and horror, and I quite like it. I was thinking kind of there's almost an elegiac feel to the very sad and almost melancholy aspect of the mall Santa, and you see it everywhere, although thankfully, I guess one of the silver linings in a pandemic environment is that type of thing will be totally scuttled unless they're doing some sort of virtual photography session or some such thing. But There's just something just very, very sad and almost pathetic about a mall Santa, and it's just, I think it's just how closely it's married to crass consumerism, insofar as that they obviously spent very little effort. Typically, a mall would spend very little effort, and the decorations would look incredibly just tacky and cheap and cobbled together, and just the accoutrements and the icicles and the cotton balls and everything is just so chintzy and so cheap, and the Santas never look like they're having a good time, and there's that hilarious website of kids having a meltdown when they meet Santa. And having recently had a kid, my feelings toward this enterprise haven't changed much, although I thought I would soften toward it when my partner said we should take our baby to visit Santa Claus, but I'm not entirely sure. The quintessential Christmas horror, I think, really would be Black Christmas, and I think I've talked about it maybe ad nauseum, but the Bob Clark thing is just so great. And while I'm not fully on board with the whole thing, there are aspects of it that are just dynamite, especially the POV opener, which I think is really cool. I think there's some good dark humor, and there's some good cinematography and darkness that's captured really nicely there. And it's fairly tame, but it makes it's richly lovely to look at, and has some pretty good performances. Lynn Griffin, when she's has that plastic bag over her head, I believe I met her at a horror con sometime, but the plastic bag scene is really impactful as well, and I think that really would resonate with horror heads as well. But I'm thinking others down the list that are probably worth checking out. Well, I mean, Christmas Evil, I think, is really, really dour and downbeat. And I mean, it's for fans, I think, of Billy Bob Thornton's Bad Santa, of which I am. I mean, if you take this more mournful and almost Charles Bukowski-esque take on Christmas, and the season leads a lot of people into the dumps. But John Waters called that the best one ever in terms of Christmas movies. Which is funny when you think about it, with It's a Wonderful Life and Elf and all these National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation and that Cary Grant one, his name I can't recall, but there's just so many impactful Christmas movies, and to have that one cited by a genius like John Waters, that really speaks to his character and says a lot about him. But this one is about a disgruntled loner who becomes obsessed, much like All Through the Night, the horror I mentioned at the outset. He becomes obsessed with embodying every aspect of Saint Nick after, what else? Early childhood trauma in the form of, what else? It's a horror movie, a prologue. And there's that, I've said at the outset of the program that I really can't stand modern Christmas carols, and I really can't stand I See Mommy Kissing Santa Claus. It's one of the all-time worst, I think, Christmas songs ever. It is atrocious, but there's some Mommy Santa Claus foreplay. And so it's a very psychodramatic and eatable and Freudian and creepy, and Harry becomes so obsessed with Santa that when he grows up, because again, there's got to be a prologue, he actually gets a job in a toy factory. Now, you know that this one was from, I think this one from the 80s, because there are no factories, and all those jobs have been outsourced to China and Vietnam and Turkey, and ex-president, soon-to-be, Donald Trump has failed to, in his attempt to bring back all those jobs. But anyway, this movie, you have the mental disintegration of Harry as his Santa obsessions take hold, and he gazes at himself in the mirror, dons the fake white beard, and fills in a ledger book in this giant tome detailing the naughty kids and their behavior, and writing down all the various ways that they've been naughty. If it were my son, he was keeping us up last night, and screaming at 2:30, 3 in the morning. So that he's generally very, very good. But last night he was in my naughty books, that's for sure. And Harry would write in things like bad personal hygiene, which is hilarious as a thing to deem naughty. But this is a really, really dark psychological film, and I highly recommend it. I think it's really, really cool. Tales from the Crypt has the Amicus production. Has a Christmas Eve themed, it's a anthology. I think the first one with Joan Collins, one of the first three installments has a Christmas Eve setup. There's also a Rabbit, which people don't think of as a traditionally Christmas movie, but there is, I think, a Santa is killed in the mall in that David Cronenberg classic. But yeah, again, you could add a litany of non-traditional Christmas movies to watch over the holidays. And I would throw in the fabulous Chuck Norris vehicle, Invasion USA, which has an amazing shopping mall and a Norris driving a pickup truck through it, and it's just hilarious. Rare Export's A Christmas Tale. It's a Finnish horror, and where Santa's buried under the Kurventori Mountains. And I don't remember much of that, but he's frozen in time, which seems apropos, at least if you live where I live. And we still have a bunch of snow out, although the temperature has risen. I'm hoping we can dream of a white Christmas, because I'll do that even if I won't sing the song. But Don't Open Till Christmas is as far away from It's a Wonderful Life's heroic George Bailey as you can possibly get. There's a masked killer, and Scotland Yard is on the case. It's a 1984 British film. And Kris Kringle, the killer Kris Kringle, is laying waste to a bunch of drunkards and derelicts in London. And there's a bunch of cheesy red herrings, and I think Caroline Monroe is in it as well. She's from Maniac and The Abominable Dr. Fibes, which is probably, I think, one of Jeff's favorites, but one of mine as well. Just a really, really, really funny. There's some Hot Coals deaths, and Silent Night, Bloody Night is probably, I think, the worst of the whole bunch, and probably the earliest of the whole bunch, from what in terms of year was lens, and also year that I viewed it, and which cast these types of films in a bad light, at least for me. But it's 1972. Maybe it's just I haven't seen any particularly good prints of the John Carradine star, but it's not really particularly compelling. Yeah, I don't know. There's not much going on to that one. To All a Good Night, another formulaic, paint-by-numbers, 80s slasher rubbish. Group of teenagers find themselves stalked by a maniacal killer in a costume. And there's, I think, another prologue. And it's almost, it has a very Prom Night feel, although not in all the good aspects of that film. It was directed by David Hess. And yes, genre films will love David Hess, but they certainly won't love this one. Anyway, I hope you love your Christmas holidays as much as I used to, and as I generate new traditions with my new family, hope to make sure that it's a holiday that my son Henry looks back upon with the fondest of fond memories. And I hope all our listeners have a joyous, safe, and thoroughly enjoyable, genial holiday season. And we'll talk to you soon. Take care. Thank you.